throughout the history of the world, throughout the history of all creation, throughout Scripture, throughout the proclamation of prophets, we have written in the Holy Word of God, God's will for all creation. We have written in the Holy Word of God, the promise of God, that He would send a Savior. He would send the Messiah. He would send a chosen one, one who would be anointed to proclaim the Word of God, not just with his mouth, but with his very deeds. From Genesis through the prophets and on into the New Testament, we see the proclamation of the promise that God has for us. We see in the creation the promise of life with God, a life that we rejected with sin. We see in the story of Adam and Eve a thumbnail sketch of our own stories, our story as sinners, our stories as a people who have rejected God's call to live in a relationship with Him. We see in Genesis the dilemma that all humans face, the dilemma of the misuse of the freedom to choose. In Abram, we see a man who was given the freedom to choose and the ability and the grace of God to say yes. Abraham, as he was renamed, is the father of our faith, the father of the faith of all the people of God, the father of faith, trusting that God's word is secure, and when God makes a promise, He will keep it. He had reasons to not believe it. After all, he was old, Sarah was old, and yet God had said, "You will have stars, you will have children, like the stars in the heaven and the sands by the seashore." God promised a miracle. God promised what, on the surface, looks impossible. But in faith, Abraham accepted the promise. And after some misturns, after going astray periodically, after laughing and after Sarah laughs at the promise, eventually they act in faith, and unto them was born a promised son, Isaac, the child of promise. The story of faith, the story of failure, is our story too. We are given a command of God, and so frequently we disobey it. We are given the opportunity to choose to trust God or to trust the voice of the serpent. And we, like Abraham, are given the opportunity to believe in the face of the impossible that which God has promised. What are we going to do? What are you going to do this Christmas season? We proclaim peace on earth, goodwill towards all people. We proclaim peace on earth, and yet we look at a world that is fraught with war and violence, oppression, evil at every turn. Mothers who strap bombs on their teenage boys to send them to blow up people they hate. People who would rather shoot you than say hello to you. People who lie and cheat and steal. People who, even in the very church of God, fail to live with each other in peace. We often get focused in on the great big flashy sins, but in truth, it can be as simple as a harsh word spoken or an uncaring thought. My friends, are we going to be like Adam and Eve and not trust the Word of God? and not live in faith? Or are we going to be like Abraham and Sarah, who even though they went astray, even though they sometimes failed, even though they didn't do everything right, nevertheless, in the end, they had faith, they trusted in God the Father, and God worked a miracle in their lives. What are we going to do this Christmas season? The story of the birth of the Messiah, the promised Savior, the Anointed One, continues from Abraham. You see, the promise began right back there in the very beginning with the punishment of Adam and Eve. Your foot will be bruised by the serpent. The promise of the coming Savior would be that He would crush the serpent's head under His foot. The promise begins. God made provision at the very beginning of creation for our sins. He made provision for our failure because He knew we needed it. In Isaiah, we see the promise. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. The Scripture is beautiful here. The music of Handel's Messiah always rings through my head as I read these words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The promise began in Genesis, was given again to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel, and indeed the people throughout the centuries, through the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Micah, Amos, on until the people of Israel, in captivity under Roman control, look for their Savior. And they missed Him. Even though the angels proclaimed Him, even though wise prophets and seers, wise astrologers, the three kings, or as I say, the wise guys from the east, came and proclaimed Him, still the people of God missed Him. They were looking for a conquering soldier Messiah, not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. They were looking for, if it's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, if it's a babe, it should be in silk, comfortable clothes, not lying in a feeding trough, but in the temples, in the castles, the child of kings and generals, or high priests and emperors, not the child of a carpenter and a young girl who are not even yet married. They missed because they were looking not for the Christ child as He would come the first time, but for the Messiah as He would return in His second coming. The season of Advent, as we said before, begins with the expectation of the return of Christ and then shifts halfway through to the celebration of His first birth. But now on Christmas Sunday, we turn back to realize that this child who was born 2,007 years ago or so, this child who was born so long ago in Bethlehem of Judea, would grow up, teach us how much God loves us by stretching out His arms on the hardwood of the cross and dying for our sins. And this child is coming back. for us. Last night I asked, is there room in the inn of your heart? Today, my friends, I ask very simply, how do we respond to the promise given? How do we respond? Do we respond with the faith of Abraham and Sarah? Or with the rejection and the doubt and the adding to Scripture of Adam and Eve? The choice is up to us. The good news is we don't do it on our own. God gives us the grace we need to respond in faith. We cannot respond on our own. God is granting us through Scripture, through all the many means of grace, what we need to respond. How will you respond this Christmas day to the promise written throughout Scripture? How will you respond to the offered relationship that the Messiah has for you? Keep these questions in your heart this season. Do not lose focus on the meaning for this season. Christ is the meaning of this one. In a few months, we will be the meaning, the reason for Lent and Easter. Let us truly give thanks to God for the birth of the Christ child. And let us truly answer the questions and accept the promise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2005 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.